Hey, everybody, enjoy this episode. Become a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Everybody, you have to come to America Fest. It's amfest.com. The speakers are breathtaking. Do you know how hard the team has worked on this? The least you guys can do is come and enjoy and celebrate. We got Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck, Steve Bannon, Patrick Bet-David, Ben Shapiro, Speaker Mike Johnson, Donald Trump Jr., Matt Walsh, Tim Pool, Ben Carson, the next ambassador to Greece, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Michael Knowles, Ted Cruz, Rob Schneider, Byron Donalds, Anna Paulina, Matt Gaetz, Danica Patrick, Brett Cooper, Jack Posobiec, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Benny Johnson, my wife, Erica Kirk, Riley Gaines, Brandon Tatum, Tom Homan, the deporter-in-chief, George Janko, Ali B. Stuckey, Sage Steele, and more. It's amfest.com. You might be able to meet your future husband, your future wife, your best friends. You're going to be so fired up. It is a celebration unlike any other. Our annual event, America Fest, is held December 19, 2021, 22 at the Phoenix Convention Center. Those who attend this once-in-a-lifetime four-day event will hear from dozens of the nation's top speakers, as I just mentioned, network with thousands of like-minded attendees and 100-plus partnering organizations, and experience concerts featuring top artists, all while celebrating the greatest country on the planet. Following a Turning Point event, all attendees will return to their campus and communities more energized than ever. Go to amfest.com. That is A-M-F-E-S-T.com. We have, again, let me just repeat this. Tucker, Beck, Bannon, Bet-David, Shapiro, Walsh, and more. Amfest.com, A-M-F-E-S-T.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another edition of Thought Crime Thursday. Yes, we are here. We are all here, though not all in the same room, because we've got coverage from Phoenix, Arizona, from myself in Washington, D.C., with Charlie Kirk over there in West Palm Beach. Yes, that's right. The Thought Crime crew will come to you covering the entire nation, because there's a lot of thought crimes out there, aren't there?
Many people are thinking criminal thoughts of all kinds. It's very bad. I mean, didn't they hear like Trump won?
Now, Tyler, what hat are you wearing now? What is that?
What's this hat? Oh, this is the Zach Bryan hat.
Who's Zach Bryan?
I don't know.
I'm like a big time boomer. So listen, I was flexing today. Someone mentioned Selena Gomez got engaged, and I was able to ask, who is Selena Gomez? Apparently she's the most followed person on Instagram, so I had to ask what Instagram was.
I thought
Charlie was the most followed person on Instagram.
I already got into it deep with the Taylor Swift people, with the Swifties this year. I don't need to get embroiled in Zach Bryan and Dave Portnoy, Crossfire. I just went to the concert last week. It was a great concert. Had a great time.
There it comes.
All right. Are you going to be leaving Turning Point to follow the next Taylor Swift tour every city that it's in?
I was standing next to our starting pitcher for the Diamondbacks. It was great. He was having a good time. It was a lot of fun.
I don't think I could name a Diamondbacks player other than the guys who won the 2001 World Series, which is your old 23 years ago now.
So fun fact, I'm not going to say the name of the pitcher that I was standing next to, but at one point, one of our staff had matched with him on a dating application, and she didn't take him up on a date, and then later on, he became a World Series pitcher.
Did she like try to walk that one back later, or was it
no,
just sort
it's too
of
late.
Like he was a skater boy? That's another song that's like 50
that's
years
it.
Old now.
Yeah, it's exactly but, right.
All right. Well, anyway, we have so obviously we're all very excited. We have AmFest next week. Will we be doing this at AmFest? Hopefully.
I thought we were doing live, right, guys? Jack, are we going live at AmFest?
I want to. Yeah, so the plan is that we are going to I'd love if we can all be out there. And I think you know, I know Charlie's been kind of camped out doing the transition stuff and being involved down there in West Palm. I came back to DC, but I'm going to be heading out to Phoenix. You guys are in Phoenix. Charlie's heading back to Phoenix. Guys, if we're all in Phoenix for AmFest, and by the way, big news that came out that President Donald J. Trump will be conducting, I believe, and Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is his first public speech post-election, will be there at AmFest. So make sure you go and get your get your tickets right now, because, you know, Tyler, you could probably give me a better update. But the last I heard talking to the guys is that there is actually not a lot of tickets left.
Yeah, I mean, this place is going to be packed. We do this every year. So if you haven't been to America Fest before, this has been an event that we've built for years and years and years, starting in Florida. Then we moved it to Arizona a number of years ago. It's been, I think, the heart and soul of our events team. Like, it's just been our baby that the entire team has grown for so many years. It now is the biggest, most LED riddled stage that you've ever seen.
There is a lot of LEDs. I will say, when I first started with Charlie's operation, it was right before the midterms 2 years ago, and like I never went to CPAC when it was in DC, like, yeah. It was not my thing. So then I go to AmFest in 2022, and I'm just like, okay, it's their big event, and then I see the stuff they're putting on stage. I'm like, the production values of this are so far beyond
anything
I've
ever
seen before. Yeah. In like, you know, conservative politics. Like, I mean, I've been at the, you know, RNC in 2016, which, you know, was not like a horrible thing or whatever, but like, obviously that was blown out of the water by everything they're able to do.
I can't
believe it's his first speech. Hello? Since the election. That felt, we got him.
Yes,
he's
ladies
like,
and gentlemen, Charlie Kirk.
Charlie, you're here. You're going to really love what I have for you.
I can't wait, but I have to answer Jack's question. People are asking, Charlie, why are you on the second row of the AmFest promotion graphic? Can we put it up there? The answer is that some people on that row get upset if they're not on the first row, where I don't care where I am. So that's the answer for those of you curious. That's why I'm second row at my own event.
Wasn't there an article that came out like earlier this year that said they were tracking, what was it, tracking
yeah,
the rise
right.
and fall of mega stars?
That. I think WAPO was
on,
doing this in
no, it was based on the rows and based on the placement of the rows. So now every time a new row drops or a new image drops, I'm like, oh no, has Charlie gone down in his own? It's like, it's so funny.
It's all good. I'm happy to take second billing at our own event. Okay, Blake, you got a great topic. My time is tight today, so go ahead, Blake.
All right, this is excellent. So, obviously, AmFest is our biggest event of the year, but we recently had a notable, you know, smaller turning point event. We have a gala each December in Mar-a-Lago, and so I was talking to Daisy and Emma, and they noticed something very, very interesting. So let's put up image 109.
Oh, this is great.
So 109. This is the crew. This is the crew at the Mar-a-Lago Gala. We've got Tyler there. We have Jack there. We have Charlie there. I wasn't able to attend. It's okay. But we've got this image here. And
we're invited.
Daisy saw something a little unusual, but she's like, something's off about that. And then she realized, oh, wait, you know, someone sent me a video from it, and it didn't look the same. So she looked around. Reveal image 108. So, what we have here, the Turning Point Gala is a black tie event. That means wear a black tie, wear a tux. And what we have discovered, someone, we do not know who, but it was known that Tyler Bowyer and Jack Posobiec did not follow the dress code.
Wait, time out.
For the Turning Point Gala.
Time out. I am
first
wearing
of
a
all,
tux.
Yeah, because that's the
that's
golden
a Vera
age.
Wang tux.
That is the golden age right there.
I bought that Vera Wang tux on sale, buy one, get one free. And I got one for my brother in 2015 ahead of, or 2016 ahead of the the inauguration 2017. Still fit in it, miraculously. And I'm wearing a black dress tie. Jack's the only one not in.
So he throws Jack under the bus.
The origin of why I photoshopped this to begin with was actually, if we're zooming in, can we zoom in on Tyler in the original photo? Can we zoom in on Tyler's original photo? Because I was like, I sent it to my Photoshop guy and I was like, we got to clean up Tyler a little bit. Like, it's such a nice picture. And this dude is just like all over the place in the shot. So we started with that. And they were like, do you want to give him a bow tie? I said, yeah. And I said, oh, why don't you give us all bow ties? And that'll look like a nice picture altogether. So yeah, we went all in with it because Tyler, someone shut up. By the way, Andrew, on the background of that, that actually is a tuxedo that he bought from like the balaclava guy down by the airport in West Palm Beach for some reason, because he flew all the way across the country without a tuxedo and like bought it there. And the guy, he bought it from this guy who is that. And I know the guy because I've been there before with my brother. And that guy is the one who's like, come on, you can't just rent a tuxedo. You gotta buy one, buddy. You gotta buy one. And he's got like the salami arms and the crusty knuckles. So Mr. Crusty Knuckles with the balaclava was like, you gotta buy it, Andrew. And I was like, Andrew, you bought the tux, didn't you? He's like, I bought the airport tux. I bought it.
Because
he didn't even give him the buttons.
Because
so
I have to be, yeah,
I was
he
like,
had to shop that.
Andrew, yeah. And let's give him the buttons. So we gave Andrew the buttons, and I was like, look, if we're doing all this, we might as well throw a bow tie on me as well.
Yeah,
so that's what
let's
we
bring it back, though, because we have 111 here. We have to really appreciate – this is not merely is it a Photoshop, but if we zoom in, it's a pretty bad Photoshop. Like, it's a very kind of silly – it's very slick looking. I'm not sure how else to describe it. It's doesn't quite fit in. Charlie, how do you feel about all of this? You were dressed properly.
I was, of course, as the host, but I'm going to cut Jack some slack here. I think that, I mean, black tie rigidity is not my, it's like, as the host, I'm like, it's okay, it's fine. Now, if you come, let me ask you guys, should someone be let into our event if they're not even wearing a tie? Like, should as the host of a black tie event where they're paying, should we regulate? And be like, no. Like, where do we draw the line? I'm curious. I want you guys to go around the horn. Understand, they're paying thousands of dollars to be there. It's a big fundraiser. At what point do we say, sorry, we can't allow you in?
I think you just sell them a $5,000 tie on the way in. I think that's
yeah. I feel like you could have a stash of like jackets and ties. And be like, thank you, welcome to the gala. Here's your tie. It's like an old-fashioned Waspy Country Club.
Bring the guy that Andrew bought his tux from, and just have him sitting outside Mar-a-Lago.
Dude, I love that guy. That's what you need. Yeah. No, and Mar-a-Lago, by the way. So this was at Mar-a-Lago. This is in the ballroom. But for folks who go, if you do ever end up there. That when you go on that patio, they're very strict, by the way, about your dress code just for the patio. So when you see those photos, I don't know if anyone has any around, but when like where President Trump goes to eat and he's got the, you know, like the velvet ropes around the table and he's always holding these big dinners, not the ones inside. That's what I'm trying to say. The one outside when he sits for dinner, it's actually formal dress code there. And if you do not have a coat. Now, I don't think you need a tie, but if you don't have a coat, they will not even let you sit down for dinner. Although I do know for a fact that the man himself, the President Trump, is very big on people wearing ties. He really, so Charlie, that might go to it right there. So if the president's there, he wants to see people in ties.
That was the thought I had, which was, I was like, well, if Trump showed up without a tie, we'd let him in. And then I was like, but Trump would never go without the tie.
There's a fun fact.
It's unthinkable.
Charlie and I were in that dining room the night that COVID broke out.
That's true.
Oh, is that like
wait,
the same,
really?
Is that the same time and, like and, Tucker it, was there and he like yeah. drove down?
Tucker was there that night. It was Kimberly Guilfoyle's birthday. Mike Pence yeah. was there. Bolsonaro. It was something out of a like Scorsese film where yeah. it had been like the night the world ended.
Yeah, there was too many famous people.
And it was too many famous people, and the vibe was like overly exuberant. Wouldn't you agree, Tyler?
Oh, it was insane.
Like overly festive. It was like out of control. People running out of rooms. Like people falling into the pool. Like it was over the top.
It was like Great Gatsby. It was like
they were falling.
It was like Great Gatsby party.
No, no, 10 or 12 people a year fall into the pool accidentally. So,
yeah. Oh yeah,
I saw an influencer do it, but like on purpose, not accidentally.
No, at Turning Point, we've had at least 3 or 4 people do it throughout the years.
100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you guys know Mar-a-Lago about the time I fell into a pool?
It's just amazing.
It's just a funny story. I went to a Blake Masters fundraiser. That was at a.
I do know this story.
Yeah, yeah. I was at a Blake Masters fundraiser.
See, don't laugh, Blake. It happens to you.
Yeah, of course. That makes it even funnier.
Blake fell in a pool at a Blake event.
Yes, wow. Exactly.
That's incredible.
So I was at a Blake Masters fundraiser at
only
a,
one Blake.
I don't know if I can say whose place it was at. It was at a wealthy donor's place, and he had one of those like infinity pool type things where there's no edge, and it was at night. And so as a result, like I thought it was like kind of like a dark, like a glassy, like a glass top on like a deck. And I was like, I'm going to go look at the lights because this was in Los Angeles. And so I walked to like, I'm going to go walk out to that ledge and like look at the lights. Bomb! I go right into the pool. And then I have to explain to everyone that I was not blasted or anything. I thought it was a solid surface. And instead I walked right into the pool, and there's photograph evidence of this somewhere.
The video of that would be epic to have for this show. Constantly.
It could be Blake's intro.
Luckily, I don't think any video footage exists. There's just a photo.
Play like
that.
The Office theme song.
Yeah, that was a good time. Man, I can't believe that was 3 years ago. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
But, wow.
But yeah,
good time.
Charlie's remembrance of that event though was like it was like a Great Gatsby party. It was wild.
It was great. It was like Great Gatsby with some sort of. It was exactly right. It was like Roaring Twenties. But I remember turning to Andrew in this very dramatic moment, being like, "It's almost too good to be true." And you know what's so funny is I got up. I'll never forget. I was on my book tour. It was my first book. I was going my first big book. MAGA Doctrine, and we made New York Times bestseller. I was so determined to get that distinction. And I was traveling the country. This is before I really knew how to economize my time. I went literally from east to west coast, like back and forth, like 3 or 4 times. I went from Charlotte, North Carolina to Arizona, back to Palm Beach, back to Orange County, one night in Arizona, back to Tallahassee. Really stupid. But anyway, I got up. It was so interesting. I got up at 4:30 a.m. the next morning to fly back from Fort Lauderdale Airport on Alaska Airlines all the way to L.A. I remember reading through my Twitter timeline, and all of a sudden, like, all the kind of fringy smart people, but the first person that I really paid attention to is Cernovich. You'd love this, Jack, where Cernovich did, like, one of those tweets where he was like, this COVID thing could upend all of civilization. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I just want you guys like, – and it was such a – kind of provocative. And then Sagar, what's his name? Sagar and Jetty, who I don't know very well, and people like him, and he seems really smart. He tweeted something where he was like, COVID could be that thing that just hangs in the background and all of a sudden becomes the biggest thing in the entire election. I remember like, no way. And then it grew and we're still recovering from it.
We still have to have the confrontation.
I just remember that I remember all the videos coming out of China and being like, what is going on with this? Because I would read, and I still do from time to time, not as much as I did back then, but I would read like Chinese social media and read the Mandarin stuff and be like, wait, China has never acted like this in response to anything before, because there's this whole thing in Chinese history where the idea that the arrival of pestilence or the arrival of a plague or like invasion or something means that the current leadership has lost the mandate of history and lost the mandate of heaven. And so on the very first episode of War Room Pandemic, which started right around that same week, I came on and I was talking about how the people were like, oh, China's just trying to get us scared. And I was like, no, China wouldn't do that. Like, that's why Xi Jinping says this virus is a demon from hell, because he doesn't want people to think that means the CCP has lost the mandate of heaven. So I was like, this is very out of character for the CCP to do anything like this. And that's what really clued me in that something was going on.
Yeah, it's amazing to think back to that night. And anyway, I don't have much more to add to that, but just kind of think of where you were and what was happening there. Well, let's proceed. Who has the next topic?
All righty. Well, so this was one we were discussing. This is a little, it's a little sordid, but so, and also Jack, we should remember, since you mentioned Sagar and Jetty, we have to have the Charlie versus Sagar debate on whether we abolish daylight savings time or abolish standard 100%. Time. I think Jack and I are both
abolish God's
time
ever.
Yeah.
Standard time is the time of God.
Daylight savings time is like the time of FDR and like the central planners. No, we have to stand against it. But, you know, if Charlie wants to side with FDR,
daylight savings time is an affront to God. It is it flies in the face of God's physics.
I don't remember which side of this I'm on because it's the terminology.
You just don't like changing the clocks.
No. What I don't like is how early it gets dark in the winter. So
yeah.
Whatever makes
winter.
It
called winter. God
whatever is
called God's
hold on
time, Charlie.
Lighter, longer is the solution. Lighter, longer is the solution.
You know, Huberman totally disagrees with that.
Charlie, there's a way to keep it lighter out in the winter.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
You know, the tropics.
Huberman
100% disagree. Yeah.
No, he tweeted out in favor of my tweet.
No, Huberman is. Then maybe it was the wording, because Huberman is totally against
daylight
savings.
I don't understand. Maybe we might be agreeing. Because what do I want? What I want
lighter
is for,
lighter earlier.
I don't want no.
Lighter,
I don't want to fall back. I don't want to fall back. Just keep the clocks the way they are in July the whole year.
He's a permanent daylight savings time person. No.
Yeah, that's the opposite.
To reject this, Charlie. You are rebellion against God.
I agree, and here's the reason why. I actually want Arizona
to
be on Pacific time, not Mountain time.
Tyler's with me. Tyler's with me.
So Arizona doesn't change the clocks, but
yeah, good.
If we go permanent,
a good central planner.
If we go permanent and we get permanent on Mountain, I'm gonna be really pissed because
you like to share your time with California instead of. Utah and Idaho.
Life in Arizona is objectively better when it's on Pacific time.
Yes.
Objectively. It is. And I'll tell you why. Like, it's so, by the way, the spring, when all of a sudden you're 3 hours behind, like by the time it's like 3:30 Arizona time, East Coast is done and you have like a full day of work left.
Yeah.
And like, it's so great. And by the way, you get up, let's say you get up at 6:30 or 7:00. And you can reach anybody you want on the East Coast because they're already in the office.
Yes.
And you have all the texts from the East Coast ready to go.
Yep.
And, like, you would be so efficient. I have a whole philosophy that
some
right,
of us
Tyler
actually
Pacific,
just live on the East Coast. It's actually,
well, I'm temporarily on the East Coast.
I just keep my computer at East Coast time at all times. So
imagine how the West Coast would operate without the guiding hand of the East Coast. Imagine if California woke up before us. They would have no idea what to do because we on the East Coast, I am very much an East Coast supremacist.
I'm anti-East.
We set the tone for the entire day, and the Californians wake up a leisurely three hours later and think, oh, you know, let's see what's going on today. Let's check in. Let's do whatever. No, those of us on the East Coast understand we set the majority. By the way, the only thing that I would change isn't – so for sure, I'm with Huberman. I would do get rid of daylight savings time, standard time only. Huberman always says light in the morning, darkness in the evening. But because the East Coast of the United States does set the standard for the entire world, we should actually be GMT. We should actually be the center focal point of all the time zones, the East Coast of the United States, because London has been superseded by us.
Also a good point. That's also a good point.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, Charlie's right. If the world operates better with us being 3 hours behind and we're on like summertime. Summertime is the best time. It's the happiest time. It's the brightest time. That's what we have to go with.
I think you guys are sick in the head. I think you possibly should be investigated by the government. Maybe we may.
Good news. We already are
institution.
There.
Well, it's healthy, right? So Huberman, I'm cribbing off of Huberman here, but his whole point is we need more light in the morning, and it is better for you to have that blast of sunlight in the morning, and then it is also better for you to have more darkness in the evening. It is healthier, it's natural, it's biological. Obviously all animals operate off of that cycle because they don't change their clocks. And most of the rest of the world, by the way, operates off that cycle. It's something where Tanya Tay, when she came to the United States, and even to this day, she's like, what is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? There's no purpose to this other than confusion and pain and suffering. And it should be ended.
It's great.
All righty. Next topic. So this is going to appall everyone, but we talked to the girls at the office said that this was a top news story. I'm pretty horrified by it.
I'll come in and say, I said, like, guys, it is the most thought crimey topic in like the history of the show. I think we're at what, 65, 66 episodes this week. And, you know, this really is like the most viral story on the entire internet right now. And so we would not be thought crime if we didn't comment on it. We just wouldn't.
Do you want to introduce it, Jack?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, you're dumping it on me. All right.
I don't know why it's that thought crimey. She was open about the whole thing. I mean, it's terrible.
She was
what
definitely
she did,
wide open. But so
I know, but I just I don't like what the I think the chirp was definitely more thought crimey. But
oh, we'll get back to that. No, so yes,
I don't
this,
know what you're talking
we've
about.
Got here since we don't want to keep everyone in suspense. It's Lily Phillips. I will say I'd never heard of her before today. She is a OnlyFans super user or super content creator. I don't know. What do they describe them as? Creators? Ugh. Anyway, Lily Phillips is an OnlyFans.
She's not creating anything.
Star. And she apparently decided to go viral by, oh man, this is just disgusting. I'll just say it, by having sex with 100 men in one day. For those running the numbers, that's you know, about 4 an hour, slightly over 4 an hour. So that would be about one every 12, 13 minutes. And, yeah, that's like a news story now. That's how you become famous and get articles in the Daily Mail and all of that. And she apparently says she wants to go for 1,000 in a day, which, for those who want to do the numbers there, that's more than one every 2 minutes. And because we as a people have failed, this is going to happen. We haven't been blotted out by like a meteorite yet. We probably should be. But it sparked a lot of discussion in the office where like, okay, like seriously, guys, are we going to do something, if not to ban this outright? Are we going to do something to say like you aren't allowed to market this on Instagram? You're not allowed to market this on XXX, I guess. Like how are we supposed to respond to this overall? And we have some video too, if we want to play it.
She's a very disgusting and disturbed person, but also who are the men that want to participate in this thing though? I mean, they should have to, here's what I think should happen. I think an intrepid entrepreneur, not entrepreneur, but journalist like James O'Keefe should sign up for it and then should reveal the identities of all the men that are doing this. I think that they should all be exposed. No, seriously.
I wouldn't be surprised if the men want to be exposed. Like, I think a lot of the men who do
no, this I think from some of the journalism that's been done on this is that like they tried to like never show the men.
Oh,
from what I can understand,
that's very bizarre.
I mean, this
do we have the clip?
This is
so.
The,
do we have the clip?
Go ahead.
Afterwards, so there's the, I think it's I can't tell which clip it is where she's kind of like tearing up. That was the one that had caught my attention where she's like. She's like actually, I mean, she could be faking it, of course. I'm sure she's, yeah.
I mean, 1,000 people is a lot. That's
she
like,
seems like, that's she like, seems like she's like really sad.
Like 1,000 people is like a three times the, like, the Joe Biden rallies that were happening.
Yeah,
that's like five times.
That's like a quite active, like, you know, that's like an in and out.
There's more people in. in that line than in Joe Biden's lines that were showing up for his rallies by a lot.
Yeah, that's like six Kamala rallies.
Yeah, six real Kamala rallies.
I think 71 is the clip. Can we play that?
In my head right now, I can think of like 5, 6 guys, 10 guys I remember, and that's it. But it's just, I don't know. It's just weird, isn't it? Like if I didn't have the videos, I wouldn't have known I've done 100, you know?
That video reveals something important, which is that she is from the British Isles, and I think we have to return to our debate about which is the most decrepit of the Anglosphere. And admittedly, Britain is rallying hard. They did just ban puberty blockers. We're very supportive of that. But there's something very, very sick about what has happened to the, you know, I guess not the cradle of Western civilization, but what was like the beating heart of Western civilization for 200, 300 years. And now they make content on the internet for perverts with money. And
well, I want to ask Charlie about, I don't know if you heard this, but apparently her mother is her business manager. And she claims that her father is very supportive and has watched some of her interviews. And I guess my question here is, can we fall any lower as a society? Is there any bottom that is lower than this?
Oh, we can get worse than this.
And the celebration of it. I mean, at least people don't seem to be celebrating it, but it's like you lose all your guardrails and this is what gets celebrated. Whoever can be the, and it's just smut. It's just whoever is the smuttiest.
Yeah,
prostitution has always been around, but yeah.
So having done two encounters on the Whatever podcast, based on the morality that most OnlyFans young women hold and most college girls hold, why is there anything wrong here? Based on their standard, why is 100 men in 24 hours any more disgusting than 2 men in 2 days?
Or for that
the answer
matter,
is it isn't.
Why it's is it like, more disgusting than like blowing your nose?
No, exactly. Or just using the restroom. Because what at the baseline of modernist sexual philosophy is they look at sex as nothing more than just bodily fluids and orgasms, and there's nothing sacred, nothing special, nothing to be protected, nothing to be saved. And so people are really aghast by this. Oh my goodness. But you have to ask the question then, well, are you okay with hookup culture? And how is that definitionally wrong than this? Well, it's because is she filming that? I don't even know what she's, I don't know if she's filming it or not. I really have no idea. I don't know the details of it, but I don't think that really matters. I think what, I mean, even more disgusting if she was doing that, but you must be consistent. If you believe it's okay to hook up with multiple sexual partners over the course of a weekend, then you hold the sexual morality of, what is her name? Phillips or something?
Lily Phillips.
And prove me wrong. What I find interesting is actually Lily does break the mold of the whatever girl that I isolated in that very viral clip, which is, I don't believe she has a good relationship with her father. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I don't. I think it's a lie. I refuse to believe that a woman that strives to have sex with 100 men in 24 hours and soon to be 1,000 men in 24 hours has a strong male figure in her life. And I was going to say a prediction. I hope I don't. I just hope that Lily walks away from this, finds religion, finds God, redeems herself. I think it's going to take a lot of work because she's heading in a very dark path. But anyway, the psychology is incredibly narcissistic, though, and she is so yes. craving of attention, and it is so sexually narcissistic. So there's a lot there that I said, but it is easy to criticize her, of which she deserves all of it. It is easy to shame her, of which she deserves every word of it. Don't give the OnlyFans girl that only sleeps with 3 men in a weekend in her own a pass. Well, because they're morally in the same ballpark. Prove me wrong or agree or disagree.
So my only question is this like, because someone filmed me, is this like for like a Guinness Book of World Records thing?
I think she was making a documentary.
There's I believe
like a
the
YouTube
next one
documentary
is.
Called, and the next one probably would be.
Yeah.
Is there
I don't
like
even think 100 in a day beats the record in ancient Roman history, everybody. there's a moment where the wife of the emperor competes with the top prostitute in Rome to see how many clients they can get through. I believe it was the wife of Claudius. It's in the BBC miniseries, which is really great.
Is that Gladiator 2? Is that
no Gladiator 2 does not cover this, unfortunately.
No, but it, like, doesn't the Guinness Book of World Records like old lady that has to sit in there like watch the entire, like, I just know like when they like shoot basketballs and do stuff like that. Like, there has to be a, like, well, a record keeper.
So this is
there.
Kind of its own thing. Like, do you know, like, Guinness records are like a scam.
Well, it's like a fun scam.
Well, they're famous. So what they'll do is, like, they won't recognize your record unless you basically pay for them to certify it.
Yeah, to be there.
And, like, the cost of doing this is somewhat inflated.
So she's making all this money on OnlyFans, but she's not going to pay the Guinness Book of World Records people to be there?
I guess.
Wow. Cheap.
But back to the topic, I think there's sort of two interesting things. One of these, I want to play another one of the clips that we have. Let's play number 70.
I think sometimes, like, feeling so, like, robotic. Like, the 30th, you know, like, when we're getting on a bit, I've got, like, a routine of, like, how we're going to do this. And, like, it just, sometimes you'd, like, disassociate and be like, you know, like, it's not, like, normal things at all.
So if you weren't able to see that, she's literally crying there. Like, that's why she's sniffling there. She's actually crying, just coming to terms with what she did. I think one of the more interesting things about this is you'll get a lot of protests or claims that, oh, it's totally normal. It's not weird, doesn't mess them up. And then when you really dig into it, as far as I can tell, it's almost always the case that it actually does mess them up. And if they present that it doesn't, it's only because they've hit that injury so many times that it's like they're totally numb to it, in the same way that, you know, if you smashed your foot with a hammer every day, you'd probably stop even feeling the hammer after a while. And it's like that stood out to me like a very direct confrontation with how harmful this is. And the other thought I had when we just think about how we respond to this is, I just think about news stories that you can see where, so, you know, the top model on OnlyFans will make millions and millions of dollars, and that the mainstreaming of this is so damaging on the margins, because it's like, you know, there's probably always people who are going to do behaviors like this no matter what, because they're super desperate or it appeals to them or something. But when it's legal and mainstreamed, you're creating this almost this like expectation that you're legitimizing it as an option in life. And one of the arguments I've always made when I would debate, you know, with more libertarian types, like, should prostitution be legal, is I would just say, I don't like the reality that we'll live in where, like, if a woman is down on her luck economically, to say like, oh, well, why don't you just start like an OnlyFans account? You can make some money that way. I think that any society where that is considered a serious option is a failing society. It is one that has failed and is lesser than the alternative society would be.
Jack, you have a thought here.
Yeah, I threw this out on, this came up the other day on my daily show, and I threw a piece out that I actually, and, you know, I could be wrong, but, you know, hot take, that I don't think she's actually going to do the 1,000 guy thing, and that she's actually setting herself up. And, you know, maybe this is a cynical take, but what can I say? I'm a cynic, and typically serves me pretty well in the clown world in which we all live at this point. But that perhaps she's setting herself up in this video and with these crying scenes as that she's going to make this like public redemption arc, and she's setting herself up, oh, I've seen the error of my ways and I'm reformed, and that now she's going to get booked as like, there's a bunch of these, oh gosh, what's the one who does it? Mia Khalifa. She's like, oh, I'm a former porn actress and now I'm a former OnlyFans star, and she's going to come out and say I'm redeemed and I'm better now and everything is great. And, you know, maybe she'll even try to work Christianity into that. And I just hope, and I'll say it this way, that I hope that if anything like that does end up happening, that it's done for the right reasons and with an understanding that true redemption requires atonement. And atonement requires actually going through a personal moral inventory of yourself and getting right with God. And that's not something that we should be glib about. And I assure you that is not something that God is glib about. And so it's not like, oh, you just say the magic words and it's all gravy, right? And these are some very serious things that she did. And I'll put it this way. When you do things like this, it costs you a piece of your soul. And God can give you all of that back. There is no sin so great that God cannot forgive it, obviously. But I don't think that it's just going to be given back on a whim. I think it's only going to be given back, and I think that it only works through serious reflection and serious atonement. God doesn't want us to just, again, God doesn't want us to just say, oh, I love you and everything's good now. And that gets into this like modern Christianity, woke Christianity thing of like, oh, you know, God created everybody perfect. Don't judge. God said, don't judge. And it's like, no, that's not what the Bible says at all.
Well, the atonement works when you're when you embrace the life of Christ and you make Christ your
yes.
Savior, and that's the first step, which is faith, actually having the faith to do it, and then actually doing it. So that's when the completion is, I think, that's there. So that's what the scripture says. So
yeah, I think a good example of, you know, how you can do that that I like is there was a British politician, John Profumo. He was a cabinet official who had a sex scandal. In fact, he's the British politician sex line, and We Didn't Start the Fire. That's
oh, wonderful.
And so he has a big sex scandal, ruins his political career. And what he did after this, he resigned from everything. He was an up-and-coming, you know, possible future prime minister. He resigns, and he volunteers at Toynbee Hall, which is this old Victorian-era charity place. And he goes in, and he starts cleaning the toilets at it. Wow. And he just starts doing manual labor as a volunteer. For years, he does this, doesn't talk to anyone about it. And finally, like, it hits them, wait, this guy is, like, a talented politician. Like, we should have him do other stuff. And they eventually, like, they had him start doing fundraising stuff. But he would never do media interviews because he said, like, this is not about me doing some, like, redemption art. He worked for them for 40 years.
Wow.
And he eventually, like, ran Toynbee Hall. And he just spent the rest of his life doing that. And he didn't seek publicity for it. He didn't, you know, rebrand his career to this. That was just... He was genuinely penitent for what he did.
Wow.
I think that's a great example.
I didn't know that story. That's an incredible story. Wow.
Okay, guys, if you have to keep, why don't you guys keep going for a little bit? Get your tickets to AmFest, AmFest.com. I have to actually go give a speech. AmericaFest, AmFest.com. We got President Donald Trump. So check it out right now, AmFest.com. Okay, guys, continue. Thank you.
Get a big discount, by the way, with promo code POSO. Promo code POSO for your big discount. No, I kind of want to go keep going with this, guys, if we can, because, you know, I do think it's a big thing. I think it's a real thing that there have been a lot of this. It's and I don't even want to necessarily get like theological with it, but I do see a lot of people. You see this with like Blake. I'm sure I think we talked about it once, like the trad wife movement. I want to say we covered that on the show at one point, that there are people who are trying on these different identities for social media clout and for followers rather than actually making these true conversions. And I'm like, yeah, if you're an actual trad wife, you're not going to be on social media.
A lot of what drives this is driven by clicks. Yeah, like it's just social media is in, you know, it's not a secret. Overall, I dislike social media's effect on society. It has plus sides. Obviously, like, I think the ability to grow around traditional media, for example, is why we were able to win this presidential election. But its effect on individual people, like if you are mediating your view of the world through social media, that if you spend so much time, you know, I guess in the back in the day, it would be looking at people's Facebook updates, but now it's their Instagram posts. And if you're interfacing with the world where your understanding of the people around you is by what they post on social media, and your sense of your self-worth is by how much engagement you get on social media, and instead of having a normal career of any sort, like you just exist as an influencer, that's hugely corrosive to you as a person. And I guess bluntly, I think it is clearly worse for young women than it is for men. One of my fun takes at parties is I basically will say that social media is to women what pornography is to men. It takes a normal human impulse. So, you know, for men, like...
Wait, say that again. Say that again.
I say that social media does to women what pornography... Like, by analogy, social media is for women what pornography is for men. That it takes a normal... impulse. So like, you know, men want to have sex with women. That's normal. God gave us that. And it takes that and it supercharges it with like this massive overstimulus in a destructive way. Because women are more social. They think a lot more about their interactions with other people. They care about attention.
Uh-huh. They're attention driven.
Yeah, they're attention. They're more attention driven. Yeah. And
I'm not saying that all guys aren't. Right? This isn't that
blows out their brains.
I don't want to do the what do they call it, the Naxalt fallacy. Not all X are like that. So yes, when we say things like that here on the program, that doesn't mean that there are no men who are attention driven. I mean, look at us, for example. Charlie just left, but we love Charlie.
What Blake is saying is that we're attention driven, Jack. We're mission driven.
We're saying on average, we are. No, I think that's right. We are.
I
use that with my kids all the time. When I want my little kids to do something, I say, guys, we have a mission, and the mission is we have to get the house ready because mama's coming home.
Yes.
And so we want the toys cleaned up and we want to get ready for dinner and all this. And it's when you know, and I do like a little military thing. I'm like, boys, this is Commander Pozo. All right, gentlemen. And they stand at attention, and we get online. We do this on vacations. You know, I say that like we're checking for spies while we walk a certain way or something.
Jack,
and they
kids,
totally respond.
Are your kids old enough that you've told them, you know, that where you served and that you are connected with Rear Admiral Crandall? And like, if they misbehave, you could send them to Gitmo.
Blake, there are certain things that are at a higher classification level. So let's just.
All right. I guess I should correct. Wait, I've been reading it. I've been following up on it. Rear Admiral Crandall did retire. There's a new person overseeing the Real Raw News Tribunals.
Oh, the
Real
Raw News.
The only news site that Blake reads every day is Real Raw News, which is basically like the great. What was it called? Weekly World News. It was kind of like Weekly World News, if you remember that one, the classic with Batboy and everything that you would get at the supermarket aisle. It is basically that for the internet, and it is amazing and obviously 100% accurate in every single thing.
Yeah, why would I read any other website when there's only one accurate website? Everything else is fake news.
Don't need to. Yeah, you just don't need to.
I only read anything blacklisted on Wikipedia. That's it. The only things that are not allowed to be cited on Wikipedia, that's the only thing you need to read. Real Raw News is at the top of that list, for sure.
But yeah, so certainly...
Wait, I want to go back, though, I think the most interesting thing about this entire social media play, that's like probably the most sickening part of the entire thing, it's one thing to be a sexual deviant, right? That's one thing. That's not why she's doing this, right? She's doing this because, and this is the clout chasing thing, people will do whatever they can to clout chase. And it kind of makes you feel disgusting when you watch, like, I catch my kids on YouTube Shorts, on YouTube Kids or whatever it is, where they watch all these things.
Oh, dude, my kids can't get off of YouTube.
It's clout
shorts.
Chasing. And this is like to the point that you're bringing up on social media is like people do all these clout chasing things, reviews, like weirdo stuff. Like, and you're like, why are adults doing like this weirdo content? And it's clout chasing so they can make money. And there's like a weird part of that where you're like looking at that and you're going, it's kind of disgusting that they're lowering themselves to do that thing that you know that nobody really actually wants to do. But now they're living this life of making this incredibly weirdo content, like playing with Barbie dolls and making them talk to each other and doing all sorts of things, right? Like in toys. And you're like, they're lowering themselves because they're making tremendous amounts of money. That's not going to last forever. It's the same thing, in my opinion, with like women who degrade themselves on OnlyFans or whatever else, like whatever they choose to do, because they're choosing to make money over like with that as the exchange rate. And, you know, I think there's elements where it's like, oh, well, you do that once or whatever. It's like, you know, you learn from it and that's easier to come back from. But it does become a habitual thing where you're like, whether it's like you're on YouTube and you're playing with dolls and as an adult or whatever it is, like making voices and editing all this stuff or doing like weirdo stuff or taking your children and turning them into YouTube channels like we saw with a couple of other really bad situations where kids are basically being abused because they're like forced to work because they're making money on YouTube anywhere in the world, by the way, where there's like no, like you can't protect children in those environments or whatever it is. I'm just kind of getting off into a tangent. That's to me like what's the feeling that's like so questionable, and it's like that's hard to come back from, because once you start making all kinds of money doing that, like you're now motivated to do more, you know, exploitative, what is that the word, type content that exploits yourself, that just is trying to clout chase so you can get more subscribers to make more money, and you gotta keep doing more and more of it until It's like, when do you spin
out?
What
I said, that's like, you know, with the social porn media thing, like, yeah. or with the porn thing yeah. where the guy, you know, it starts yeah. off normal and yeah. they start, now it's like, oh, I can only watch like this disgusting
yeah.
incest assault play stuff. And then same thing here. It's like you need more. It's taking a part of your brain and super stimulating it.
And by the way, politics is the same way. I've seen the same thing happen with people in politics where it's like they need more and they need more and they need more and they get more control over things and they have to like feed their ego and fight more on Twitter and they have to fight more in public and they have to be right all the time. And it's a human characteristic that's a flaw that if you feed that beast, you continue to have those problems and those issues.
It is digital opium. It is yeah. digital opium, and people who get sucked into it, the endless scroll. Josh Hawley has talked about this a ton, the endless scroll, the gamification, and we're all guilty of it. Every
yeah,
single
totally.
One of us.
Everyone is.
You know, especially me, totally guilty of this, and I do try to be cognizant of it, that, hey, if I'm going to use my social media for anything, number one, it is, of course, the most important thing that I only use it for good and making sure that people get the best night's sleep in the whole wide world with MyPillow.com. And there's no question that that's what the purpose of social media is for, not just for self, you know, for self gain or self interest. No, no, no. It is to make sure that I spread that news. In all seriousness, though, it's like you look, it's like any new technology. All right, we're all still kind of wrestling with it. Obviously, this played a huge role in the election where the Republican candidate, President Trump, went all in on new media and social media and technology. And Kamala Harris played this like legacy media route and totally was destroyed. And it wasn't even a good legacy media route and was destroyed over it, where Trump was all X and podcasts. And so the way that we as a society react to the internet, we're still kind of going through those growing pains, but it's going to be something where, I mean, look, you know, Elon Musk, hey, this guy is the founder and well, not the founder, excuse me, the owner of X. And as the owner of X, you know, I have to imagine it's something that he's going to want to discuss. I think Grok is probably the best AI that's out there right now. But, you know, at the same time, the gamification of X has certainly made X a less quality platform than it used to be. Because you see, they call this a lot, they call it slop. I don't know if you guys have seen the slop posting. So slop posting which is similar kind of what I would say to what Lily Phillips is doing. It's just another form of slop posting where you're just posting something that you know is going to get engagement because it generates either controversy or it's like, you know, something that's just going to get obvious retweets and it's not actually contributing anything to anyone. And that's clearly what Lily Phillips are like. Who does this contribute anything to? What is she trying to search for? I mean, it reminds me of, if anything, it just, I keep going back to the character of Fantine in Les Mis. And, you know, if anyone's seen that, and in the novel, by the way, the original novel, the Victor Hugo novel of Les Mis, I mean, it's just horrible. Like she gets her teeth pulled out and the guys are lying to her. She sells herself into prostitution because she wants to help her daughter after her husband dies in the Napoleonic Wars. And the people that are watching her daughter lie to her and tell her that her daughter is sick. And so she's like doing worse and worse prostitution and more men in a single night, which is what makes me think of it. And she eventually dies basically of an STD. And she's like selling her hair, she's selling her teeth. It's just horrible. And of course this is the background in the musical side of it for the famous song I Dreamed a Dream. And it's like, you know, and that, so people read that song as being in earnest, but in actuality, in the context of the musical, it's like the character is dreaming a dream or did dream a dream once that has been completely lost. And it's the character of a lost soul. And I look at somebody like Lily Phillips and I just see a lost soul.
So, you know, the ancient philosophers would have the stuff they wrote where they would say, you know, moderation in all things. I don't know if was that literally Aristotle who said it? Like moderation in all things, even moderation. Maybe that's like a fake Aristotle quote. A lot of fake Aristotle quotes out there. But it's a real concept that they would have. And I think what often isn't realized is it's very easy to think of that in terms of direct consumption. You know, don't eat too much food. Don't do too many drugs. Don't drink too much alcohol. But they actually would have that conception as well for things that we would think of as like emotional equilibrium. Like you should not overindulge in like a certain, almost like a certain mental attribute. And I was thinking about that when Tyler mentioned, you know, the way people essentially overdose on politics, that you can actually actively, you can overstoke your ability to get enraged about something. You can overdo your ability to be angry, to be sad even. Like you can, it's really true that you can wallow in too much of an emotion, and you have to actively avoid doing that. I mean, I've seen it as a case. If you suffer a romantic setback, it's very easy to, like, you can wallow in that too much, when what you need to be doing is finding actively ways to get away from that, to recenter your emotional equilibrium. And I think social media, it's underrated in how much damage it causes in that regard, because social media is like an endless ability to intensify whatever emotion you are already feeling. And I think we're only at the beginning of fully understanding like the long-term hazards of that, because we started to see the harms from it almost immediately, but now we're getting into our first period where we have people who are grown adults who have spent their entire lives in a world where this is an everyday constant thing. And I think that is definitely a strong driver of all of the like off the charts mental illness that we're finding.
Like, do you think, so people have talked about an internet bill of rights or a digital bill of rights. Do you think that from a consumer protection standpoint, do you think that these are the types of things? So people talk about it in terms of like the ownership of your data. People talk about it in terms of censorship. But do you think things like this ought to be brought into a digital bill of rights in that conversation?
So a digital bill of rights to give you a right to.
Well, so I guess in this case, it would be a right to, force social media companies to allow you to opt out in a sense, or to allow you to take a break. I think Instagram used to do. Yeah, no. I think Instagram used to have like a, you're all caught up. If you swiped for like more than 10 minutes, it would give you, you're all caught up. And it would like give you a message that said that. And they found that actually allowed people to like come off of the platform more frequently. But they got rid of it because too many people were going off the platform. And I want to say Twitter had one of them at one point as well. Like, there you go, you're all caught up. And it would give you that sort of like endpoint that would come in. So I wonder if I'm just brainstorming here. I'm not talking about from a constitutional or legal perspective, but I'm just saying from a strict public health perspective, do you think that's something that would be useful?
It could be. I think it's interesting. It goes back to, people would always make fun of, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the brainchild of the French Revolution, many, many problems with him. But one of those terminologies, one of those phrases he had that people always, I've seen, would get confused by is where he would say that people need to be forced to be free, basically, is one of the things that he said. And it doesn't make a lot of sense if you're talking about political liberty or something. But I definitely think about it when you have all of these addictive things pervading society. And it gets to the question of, okay, yes, it is literally a choice to do sports gambling on one of those apps. It's a choice to use social media. It's a choice, for that matter, to use any actual drugs. But when these things can be designed to be as addictive as they are, and when there's so many of these things, I think you do start to see, do we have a, as conservatives, do we have a social interest to basically come in and say, this stuff gets out of control too easily, and we need to impose limits to make it, at a minimum, harder to get addicted to all of this stuff? And circling all the way back to how we got on this with the Lily Phillips thing, at least if we don't ban it outright, make it harder for your average, ordinary person to get tracked down a path that we find undesirable. And I guess the most extreme libertarians would say, if 35% of women want to have an OnlyFans career during their lives, oh, that's fine. That's their freely driven choice. But my impulse, and I think the impulse of everyone on this program, would be that would be a suboptimal outcome. And we probably want to try to create a society where that is a discouraged outcome, even if we don't ban it outright. And, you know, maybe that is something we'd want to talk about.
Interesting. Well, send us your comments in if you think that's something you'd be interested in. But I think we do have to kind of start wrapping up here. I've got my out as well. So any final thoughts on this one, Tyler?
Tyler, you've been doom scrolling. Have you been trapped?
Yeah,
Tyler's doom scrolling. Tyler needs the limit. Tyler needs the limit. Tyler needs to get out of there.
That's right. No, I think that's like the most divisive thing, honestly, with just one-on-one personal relationships, is just the phone that comes in between people. But, you know, for me, I think the hardest thing about circumstances like this is it's hard not to judge people. You know, we all have our own, like we said, inadequacies, especially when it comes to social media. We dive into all this stuff, is we see other people, we have other people in our lives that kind of fall prey to it. So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, you gotta, hang up and hang out, you know, which is just, I think, less in the digital space is probably more, the less you do on your phone, probably more you're going to lean into your kids, into your career, into your life, into your church, into all sorts of things that are probably a lot healthier for you.
Yeah. Or if Charlie were here, I'm sure he would point out that he takes an entire day every week off of social media and text messages and phone calls, where he does every Saturday. He sort of does a digital Shabbos, and he kind of, you know, it's, I don't think he goes off of the internet. Like, he can still go to websites, but just email, texting, anything where there, Telegram, anything where there's communication involved, he cuts that all out, and phone calls as well. So it's, you know, that's just another great example of something that you can do to take a day away from all of the nonsense. And I think it's something that we should probably all think of as well. And so that is the crimiest thought crime that I can think of. So as we are in this Christmas season, I will bid you a Merry Christmas, and go on out there and commit more thought crimes.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.